we now take a look at ourselves. Yes, if that's possible. Psychology, etc. We're looking at psychology in the 21st century and the history thereof. Psychology, we looked in the previous episode, was or is an evidence-based enterprise. Okay, so that's where we're going here. So psychology, this series of programs we're looking at, by the end of them, if you listen closely, you should be able to describe the diversity of psychology as a discipline. You should be able to list some of the ways psychologists focus on different aspects of human behavior. You should be able to identify different methods of psychologists that are used to explore human behavior, and you will be able to have the skills necessary to illustrate the importance of the various ethical things that psychologists have to consider. Now, if you can't do any of those things by the end, something's gone wrong, basically. But by the end, you should be able to have a bit of a grasp on all of those things there. Right, so here we go. Researching ourselves. Since psychologists are humans, and hence are researching issues just as relevant to themselves as to their research participants, they can be attracted towards researching certain topics and maybe away from others. This is perhaps more evident for psychological research that is most clearly of social relevance. At a societal level, all kinds of social, cultural, and political pressures, explicit or subtle, can influence or dictate what kinds of psychology, which topics, and which theories are given priority and funding. Until relatively recently, for example, it was difficult to obtain funding for research that was based on qualitative methods. This was because there was an erroneous belief in psychology and in the culture more generally that qualitative sounds. Can you say that? Qualitative or qualitative? I'm not sure. I think there must be a psychological barrier that I've got here in pronouncing these words. So the qualitative research could only help in gaining very specific and idiosyncratic understandings of particular individuals and could not make any useful contribution to broader understandings of people and psychological process. At a more personal level, what might psychologists bring to their theorizing and research? Think about Freud. Many writers have speculated on what might have influenced Freud's work. One of his basic propositions, well, we all know what he was talking about. What made him talk about these things and give them names and everything? Well, was there something that happened in his life which caused these things? There was also the early personal life of the influential psychologist Erik Erikson, which may have affected his later theorizing about the difficulty of finding an identity during adolescence. It is possible also our desires, beliefs, and ideologies define not only what we want to study, but also how we interpret our findings. Bradley, in 1989, alerts us to this possibility in relation to the study of children, when he argues that different theorists have found support for their own theories from the observations of children. Now, this indicates that personal values and beliefs are important in influencing the ways in which we view the world. Suppose you were engaged in an observational study of the effect on children's aggressive behavior of viewing aggression on television. If you felt strongly about this issue, your observations of the way that children play after watching aggressive programs might be biased by what you believe. It would be difficult to be objective because your own feelings, beliefs, and values, your subjectivity, would have affected the evidence. Personal prejudices, cognitive biases, bad days, and unconscious factors can affect what we see, even as scientists, when we observe other people. We shall see this much later in the series, how the experimental method has endeavored to minimize this kind of subjectivity. This is the English program.